Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. This week, we're revisiting a past episode of another BYU sports podcast, Legends of 84, a deep dive into the 1984 championship season. In this episode of the series, BYU legend Robbie Bosco shares what it was like to be the starting quarterback of this historic football team. Thanks for listening, and Royal Legacy will be back soon with a new episode.
This is Legends of 84, the story of BYU's remarkable national championship football team, told by the men who changed the world of college football and were forever transformed by that unforgettable season.
We knew we were going to be good. How good? Nobody knows.
I just never thought we'd lose. And each game that we won, we got more and more confident.
But once we played next to each other, we protected one another.
If you're not willing to prepare, then you're not going to be ready to win.
We are a peculiar people. We need to embrace that.
Brigham Young University has won the Holiday Bowl 24-17, and the Cougars are the only undefeated team in the nation. And I think they'll be number one.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Thacker. All of us at ESPN bid you welcome to College Football 1984. Herb, BYU, and Pitt, two teams that have been hot in the 1980s.
Boy, have they been hot. 81 and 16 combined. They're not used to losing. You know, when you have an opener, the spirits are high anyway. Something's got to give. Both these programs are expecting to win.
Well, at BYU, there's been that phenomenon of the quarterbacks. Is that going to continue?
Well, you know, they started out with McMahon, Nielsen, Wilson Young, and now this young guy. And who is to say in 2 years he won't be an All-American? I wouldn't bet against it.
Well, they say he has a very strong arm, and this year...
My strength was throwing the football.
Bosco looking downfield, throwing, got a man open at the 40-yard line.
This is Robbie Bosco, quarterback. Back in the early 80s, not a lot of teams threw the football. And so I was turning teams away, like Oklahoma, no chance I was going there. The quarterback would maybe throw it three times a game and run it 25 times a game. I remember in high school one time I actually kept the ball and ran, and I literally had to call a timeout because I was too tired for the next play. I need to drop back, and I need to throw the ball. That's my strength.
This will be his first play of 1984. Out of the backfield, they got a man down at Kozlowski. Oh, the great catch inside the 40 of Pittsburgh.
So I turned a lot of teams away, but there were a lot of teams that would call me when they could. One of the hardest things to do is to turn down coaches because these coaches are amazing people. They were awesome. And so I quickly thought about teams I wanted to go to.
Brigham Young threatening again inside the Pittsburgh 30. They have come in a hurry from way back downfield on the right arm of Robbie Bosco.
My first recollection of BYU watching Mark Wilson play on national television against San Diego State. His first three passes were for touchdowns. And I'm like, now that excites me. Tom Ramage was a football coach at BYU. And he recruited the California area, the Northern California area. Tom grew up with my mom and went to school with my dad. They were all from Price, Utah. Cal Berkeley was another school. They were in the Pac-10 at the time, probably threw the ball the most out of that. Doug Scoville, just a little bit of history of BYU. Doug's the quarterback coach at BYU for those years of Gifford Nielsen, Mark Wilson, and I think a little bit of Jim McMahon. He became the head coach at San Diego State. He was a QB coach that had all these All-Americans. I'm going to go to San Diego State and check it out. I go to San Diego State. I meet him. He puts his arm around me. He goes, Robbie, you know all those All-Americans at BYU? You're going to be the next one. As an 18-year-old kid, I'm thinking, that'll be cool.
Game, it's turning to be a defensive thriller. Brigham Young on a first quarter field goal by Lee Johnson, leading the Panthers 3-0. Twice Brigham Young stopped Pittsburgh right down in the shadows of the goalpost.
My goal is to go to a college, go to the NFL, and let's see where that takes me. So Doug Scoville had a lot of interest with me, so I had a lot of interest in San Diego State. I'd go and hang out with the guys at San Diego State, and all they could talk about was beating BYU. That's it. They said, you got to come here. We need you here. I'm like, how do you know you need me? I'm 18 years old. Are you sure that I'm that guy? But it was interesting how much they talked about BYU. Typically, you could take 5 recruiting visits. I narrowed it down to 3. BYU, San Diego State, and Cal Berkeley. When the time came, I took my visits there. And before those visits, the Mark Wilson thing was huge for me. I can remember playing basketball in high school, and we were playing in San Francisco at a tournament. BYU was playing SMU in the Holiday Bowl. I was able to watch like the first half of that game.
From the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, we wish you a very happy holiday season.
The next day, I'm reading the paper and I'm like, what? BYU won? And I'm freaked out because I think at halftime we were down by like 28 points. They call it the Miracle Bowl.
3 seconds left, 3rd and 10 at the SMU 41-yard line. McMahon all the way back in his own 46, throwing for the end zone. Receivers are there, defenders are there. It is in the end zone. Who has the ball?
BYU.
Touchdown!
To this day, I can watch that game knowing that we're going to win and denying that I don't think we're going to win this time, because it was just a miraculous game. And we ended up coming back through a Hail Mary at the end of the game to win the game. And so I'm like, oh man, this is where I want to go. This is where I want to go. I had to make a choice on what I was going to do. I was kind of the hotshot quarterback in Northern Cal, and a guy by the name of Sean Salisbury was the hotshot guy in Southern Cal. And BYU is recruiting both of us. In my mind, I'm thinking, Sean Salisbury is a Mormon. I'm not a Mormon. If he goes to BYU, I may not get a chance to play there. And you want to go where you're going to play. I didn't think about competition and all this stuff. I didn't know a ton about BYU. I knew that they were a religious school and that it was a Mormon school. I dated a Mormon in high school, but I wasn't. And so I didn't know what that thought process was. When they were just saying, okay, are you going to sign? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to wait for Salisbury to make a decision. And time went on and on and on. And then it got to the last week of signing date. Signing date was always the first Wednesday of February. So Tom Ramage, who was recruiting me, came to Roseville. He was in that hotel for a full week. And then he was in my high school all the time. And so it came to the final day of what's going to happen. Still told him, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait for Salisbury to see what he's going to do. And so he's pacing. I'm in math class. I can visualize this as clear as today. Then all of a sudden, bam, 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 on the window. He's knocking on the window. Everyone looks over there. He's waving me over. I look at the teacher. The teacher goes, go ahead. So I go out there, and he goes, Salisbury committed to USC. Then I said, I'm going to BYU. It's where I always wanted to go, but I wanted to make sure it was right. I went into the gym, into the coach's office, called my dad first thing. He said, I'm going to BYU. And he was so excited for me. I already knew my mom was praying relentlessly for me to go to BYU. She may have prayed every night for an hour that I would go to BYU. My dad not being a member was so excited. That's where I was going. That's why I love my parents. Back then, it's so different than college football now. College football is freshmen come in and they want to play right away. They want to show what they can do. It was kind of laid out for you. Even though they recruited a bunch of quarterbacks, you had to be confident that you were going to be the guy. And I was always confident I was going to be the guy. The day I left home was the hardest time of my life. They dropped me off in front of the Smithfield house, and I wanted to go home. I can remember going into the Smithfield house, past the coaches' offices where they play. I went up into the blue seats where I could be as quiet and private as I could be. And just bawled. And then they put me in the dorms, the football team, and they put me in with Glenn Kozlowski. Glenn Kozlowski was probably the cockiest guy I've ever met in my life.
This is Glenn Kozlowski, wide receiver. I was so arrogant and so, you know, thinking that I was the best. And when you think you are, you usually become the best.
He graduated from high school early so he could come to spring ball. He was a hotshot, great receiver from San Diego.
Kozlowski motion to the left side for BYU. Bosco to throw, does throw. Kozlowski has it. He might score. He does.
So when we came to BYU, he had known all the big shots. He's practicing with the varsity. He started on the varsity. He's a four-year starter, one of the great players of all time. I tell this story because now we are best of friends. But for some reason, they thought, boy, let's put Glenn, who's going to be our future receiver, let's put him with Bosco, who's going to be our future QB. It'll be a perfect match. Well, it's not a perfect match.
I'm a big shot, so I'd stay out all night and come in, and I would turn on the light. So poor Rob, I walk in, and he has this picture of his girlfriend, and I go, so who's that? He goes, oh, it's my girlfriend. We're in love, blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah, yeah. Where is she at? Is she here? And he goes, no. And so I flipped over the picture and said, it won't work.
But we were as opposite as you could be. He would come in at 2 in the morning. I'd try to be sleeping. It was crazy. We're in two-a-days, and I'm saying to myself, I can't do this. So my sister lived a mile from practice. I go, do you mind if I stay here and live with you for 2 days? And then I'll find my own roommate. I didn't even tell the coaches. Coaches had no idea I moved out of the dorms. I met Blaine Fowler. We got along fine. So I go, hey, let's be roommates in the dorms. And the dorms were super fun. So we did that. So I had a great time in the dorms. I think Glenn lived a floor above us. But I didn't have to worry about him coming into my room anymore and waking me up. So we got along after that pretty good.
Bosco down the middle. Kozlowski, it is caught beautifully.
I didn't have a ton of friends that were LDS growing up. But I did date a girl that was LDS. So when I came to BYU, I wasn't a member. Once I was surrounded by faithful Latter-day Saints, I thought, you know what? Why not? I've always believed in God. I've always believed in Jesus Christ. I didn't know a ton about what the Holy Ghost was. I don't have a miraculous story of why I joined the church other than I believed and let's go. Let's get baptized. I remember the missionaries came to my dorm room. Both of them sat on my roommate's bed. I sat on my bed and we talked and I got baptized. It was awesome. I was going to be the guy that replaces Steve Young. So I worked super hard and understood the offense. I mean, it's been 3 years now where I've been around these players and the offense. So I knew the offense inside and out. I knew coverage inside and out. For a quarterback to be great, you got to understand everything. You need to understand pass protection, where everybody is on the field. When you make a choice, that choice has got to be made right now. There's no time to think what ifs. Players felt confident. We had 4 of the 5 offensive linemen returning from the 83 team. That makes you feel good as a quarterback. I knew it was going to be ESPN's first live telecast ever. Then in the back of my mind, these are my thoughts. How in the world am I going to replace Mark Wilson, Jim McMahon, Steve Young? They're Hall of Fame QBs. They are first team All-Americans. They won the WAC championship, which was the conference we were in at the time. What am I going to do to not even set myself apart from them, but just be in that group? How am I going to do that?
Robbie with a pure passer. This is Mark Bellini, wide receiver. And Robbie just had a really strong, accurate arm. And Robbie didn't want to run at all, which is great for a receiver. And you want a guy that's going to think pass, pass, pass. I had respect for Robbie just because of his passing ability and his willingness and his wanting to win.
Nobody puts more pressure on me than myself. I can handle what people say about me, but I want to be good. I want to be great. And I don't want to be that quarterback that's labeled, those guys are amazing. Bosco could not do it, though. And so those things stuck in my head. The night before we left the pit, I laid on my bed and I cried. Y'all are going to think I cry all the time, but maybe I do. But I cried because I just didn't know. Didn't know if I could do it. And so I laid in bed, and just thought about all those things. And they may have been negative things, but those were my thoughts. Get on the plane, go to pit, game time starts. I can remember warming up, looking up. There it is, the Goodyear blimp. I can remember seeing the ESPN cameras.
Welcome you aboard for College Football Live 1984, a doubleheader. You're getting here with Brigham Young in Pittsburgh. And
the game started. Here are my first three passes to that game. The first one, it literally goes 10 feet over his head. He can't even jump for it. He just stands there flat-footed and looks, watches the ball sail over his head. I'm like, take a deep breath. Come on. You got this. Next play, throw the ball, hit the dude in the back of the head, our receiver. All right. That's all right. Next play comes. Bam. I hit the guy in the shoelaces, the receiver. Just a horrible throw down to the feet. We have to punt. I'm walking off the field, kind of dejected. Obviously, Lavelle can see my head's down. You might as well call me an ostrich. He came out there, and as he's walking towards me, I'm like, man, at least you can wait to the sidelines to bench me. And so he puts his arm around me. He goes, Robbie, you got it. You are our guy, and you're going to be our guy. You can do it. You know you can do it. Just go play. His arm is around me. He walks me back. Obviously, that gives me amazing confidence and strength and a feeling that, all right, Lavelle's got confidence in me. Let's hope everybody else does.
Bosco has got great ability and just needs to settle down. I guarantee he's going to get a lot of opportunities to throw the ball. BYU throws two out every three times.
The second half, we're moving the ball. We're losing the game. And then we have a third and four. The formation is called Red Left. And the place called 63. So we have a guy on my left going about 18 yards and cutting across the middle. I'm looking at our tailback and fullback to get a first down. So I go, I look here, free safety's in the middle. Middle of the field's wide open. I throw the ball. Just as I'm throwing it, a dude comes and hits me down low in the legs. Kind of buckles me, but I get the ball off just in time. Adam Haysbert had a step on the guy. I threw a perfect pass, catches it, touchdown. Game over.
Bosco down the middle. Then he's got Haysbert down there. Haysbert's got it. He's going to score a touchdown for Brigham Young. Bosco to Haysbert explodes with a minute 37 seconds to go. And Brigham Young from Provo has come back to finally take the lead.
Beat the number three team in the country. What a way to start.
Bosco, who's made a great debut here as the starting quarterback for Brigham Young.
During that game, they had a guy named Chris Dolman who played for the Minnesota Vikings for a lot of years. By far their best player. He hit me one time right in the chest, and I went down. I was super dazed. I went back in the huddle. This is kind of in the middle of the game. Brought the play in, and I'm slurring the play. I can't even get the play out. My whole team is like, time out. There's something wrong with them. They're like, just go to the sidelines. So I start walking back to the sidelines. They grab my shoulders and they're like, we're on the other sidelines. So I go to the sidelines and I experience, I'm 100% sure, my first concussion. But at the time, concussions weren't a thing. It was like, how many fingers? As I'm holding up two fingers now, three, close enough, you're good. So I'm on the sidelines and I'm actually just standing there next to the coach and I'm just glassy-eyed. I'm not even thinking about how many plays I'm going to miss or anything. All of a sudden, they gave me some of that smelling salt. And I took a whiff of that, and I'm like, whew! I went back in the next play. Didn't feel any repercussions from that. You just go in and you play. Get on the airplane. I can't even sit from that hit from Dolman. My back is like, something's wrong with it. I got a huge blood thing as big as a softball thing that grew from the game until I got on the plane on Sundays when we typically would have treatment. So that's when I got my treatment. I got my back lanced. They drew the blood out, squeezed it out. I could just feel the blood dripping down my back. And then I kind of felt fine. Go to bed that night. I wake up Monday morning and I can't even move. I could hardly get out of bed. I call my good friend Jimmy Edwards, who is Lavelle's son. He was a wide receiver on the team. I go, Jimmy, I need some help. I go, is there any way you can come over and give me a blessing, a priesthood blessing on my back? I got to be able to play. Without hesitation, he goes, yeah, give me a couple of minutes and I'll be there. So then there's a knock on my door. I go get it. Here comes Jimmy. Then right behind Jimmy is Lavelle, who I was not expecting to be there by any means. Football coaches, meetings. I know Lavelle as the media. Everyone's super busy. I did not expect it. So Lavelle, they came in there. Lavelle gave me a blessing. From that blessing, I can kind of remember the healing part and stuff like that. But what I remember most is Lavelle saying, football is not the most important thing in your life and never will be. Even during that time, I opened my eyes. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding. You got it wrong. This is my life. This is what I know. This is my dream to play in the NFL. I've got my life mapped out. And to this point, it's right on. It's dead on. This is just my thoughts. I don't understand that. They left, went to practice. They figured out how to tape my back up. They just taped it up tight, so I didn't have as much restriction on it. I wore a flat jacket, which is what QBs at that time wore around their ribs to protect them. I was able to play. I was able to throw. I was able to do some things. Okay, we got to keep this super quiet. We don't want media to know about this. We don't want Baylor, who's our next game, to know about this. We're going to keep it under wraps. Into the 84 season, we knew we had a good team. The big storylines were Robbie Bosco and Dave Mills as our tight end. David Mills was no Gordon Hudson, but David Mills ended up catching 65 balls. He was every bit as good as Gordon Hudson, just wasn't as flashy. But those are kind of the big stories. Everybody knew Cause could play. Offensive lines was experience. Our linebacking core, maybe the best linebacking core that's been at BYU. We had an All-American free safety in Kyle Morrell. We had experience. Guys have played. So we knew we were going to be good. How good? Nobody knows. So going into that year, there's a couple of things that I think changed the brotherhood in the locker room. One was we had a thing we called cheeseburger snacks. So the night before football games, we went and had cheeseburgers and fries. The coaches talked to us. We set some goals, talked a little bit about what we did. The coaches would leave, and then it was a player-only meeting. Typically, the captains would stand up and give a little pregame speech. Got a little bit scary at times with some of the things that were said, but that's just what happens in a locker room or in a meeting where just players are. And then before we broke up, Lewis Wong, who was not a member of the church at the time, said, hey, let's gather together and have a prayer. I don't even remember who said the first prayer. But in the prayer, we talked about brotherhood, sticking together, loving each other, supporting each other, and being there for each other.
You know what? I've heard that by quite a few of our friends and teammates, but I actually don't remember it. This is Lewis Wong, offensive tackle at BYU from 81 through 84. I don't recall it. I don't know. I guess I did because multiple people have said that. I just felt like this is something we needed to do, apparently, and I did it. But to be honest, I'm getting old now, so I don't recall it.
Lavelle always taught us a great lesson. He says, don't go about worrying about the things you can't have control of. The media and coaches vote on who's going to be the national championship. What do? You can't control that. You control your social life. You can control your academics. You can control your spirituality. You take care of those three things, football will take care of itself. Now, I'm not going to say we were a perfect team. We were a choir boy team, but I took that to heart. And I know a lot of players took that to heart, to control what you can control. We have nothing to hide. We're not going to try to go around whatever everybody wants to think of a soft schedule. The negative stuff came out after we beat Pitt. My first interview, Monday morning, me and LaBelle drive up to Salt Lake City, and we're on Good Morning America. I did interviews with Sports Illustrated. You name it, I did interviews with them. The Washington Times, everybody wanted a piece of BYU and what makes them pick.
Coming up next episode.
Baylor will be a tougher team than Pittsburgh in many ways. They have more speed, more quickness.
What I wanted to do was always get the ball. Robbie's looking at us.
What are you guys doing? We got to get a playoff, and you guys are like fighting on the line of scrimmage.
He's in my spot. Mark's like, no, he's in my spot. And what I loved most about the 84 team, every one of us thought that we could make the play.
Thank you for listening to Legends of 84. This podcast series was produced by Eric Michael Robertson and Scott Christofferson with Bree Ray Alpew as associate producer. Music by Stuart Maxfield and Eric Michael Robertson. Legends of 84 is a production of BYU Radio.